Hi, this is Pastor Matt, and I want to welcome you to our Blue Oaks Church podcast. At the end of this episode, feel free to download our Blue Oaks Church app, where you'll be able to access resources, events, and ways to get connected at Blue Oaks and in the community. The app is the easiest way to share this content with a friend, and it's the easiest way to keep up with everything going on around Blue Oaks. Most importantly, though, I just hope that you enjoy this episode and it inspires you to take your next step in your faith journey.
Hey, Blue Oaks Church, how are you doing today? This is Steve, and for a lot of you, you probably don't know who I am. But Matt and I have been friends for, 25, 30 years now. We used to take our kids down to Mexico. We were both high school youth pastors, and that's where we got to know each other back in the 90s and have stayed friends since. So I'm here with you today, super excited about sharing. And so let's just jump in, because what I'm going to talk about today is something that's pretty near and dear to my heart. And it's the hope we have in contentment. The hope we have in contentment. Contentment's not always the easiest thing to find in our culture. Matter of fact, there's a quote by John Piper I'll never forget when he said, "The Christian life is not a life of perfection, but it's a life of fighting." And if there's one thing I try to fight for is contentment with all the things going on around me to keep my heart in that place of contentment. Now, just to share a little about me, I would call myself a little bit of an enigma here, a little contradiction of terms. I don't know how better to say it. And let me share with you some of the things I engage in, okay? So, number one, do you ever do this? I love watching Million Dollar Listing, right? Looking at these multi-million dollar homes in New York or LA, just intrigued by the beautiful homes that are available. While at the same time, I'll watch Living in a Tiny House, right? And I'll sit there and go, I could do that. That's what I mean by a contradiction of terms. I'll watch both of these. There's another YouTube show I watch all the time. It's called DDE, Daily Driving Exotics. They drive Lamborghinis and McLarens and Ferraris. I love this show and I love these kind of cars. But let me show you my front yard. I have a 2002, 2010, and a 2014 Prius. A little different than what DD is about. As I mentioned, a lot of different things going on in my head constantly. I also find myself intrigued by guys like this, he's an elite coach. Very interesting. I have found myself listening to different things he talks about. As a matter of fact, one of the things this guy talks about is, if you don't have a six-pack, you're fired. That's one of his statements when he's training salesmen. So intrigued by what this guy talks about. While at the same time, I love listening to this guy, the Dalai Lama. Totally different than this guy. And so, as you can see, there's a lot of things that pretty much capture my heart. This world can be a pretty intense place. Always thinking about this idea that you're not doing enough. You could do more. You could have more. You can accomplish more. There just seems to be the constant fight to pursue, to challenge that you're not where you should be and you should be over here. Do you ever feel this way? I mean, it is hard to not be captured by desires for more in our culture. I think it's hard. Always more to do. Always more to accomplish. Always more to become. And it could be an incredibly daunting journey, without a doubt. And I want to consider some scriptures here. Because I think if you were to go back to Genesis, you see this exact reality in Genesis chapter 3. Here's what we look at when we look at Genesis chapter 3, verse 6. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eyes and very desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some of it and she ate it. And she gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it as well. I really believe that what we're seeing here in this story is the power of wanting more. Adam and Eve were well taken care of in the garden. But their desire for more, their desire for better food, for pleasure, for wisdom, that captured their hearts. It captured their mind. It drove them to want more, potentially thinking that more is what they needed and what they wanted to be content. One theologian, I don't even remember who said this, but I have it quoted, and I read it, and it makes so much sense to me. He said, "Here we see how the barrier between Adam and Eve and the tree creates an excessive drive by making the fruit of the tree into something excessively desirable. While Adam and Eve can try to content themselves with substitute objects, they remain enchanted by the illusion of what lies out of reach." Now, pay attention to that. They are enchanted by the illusion of what lies just out of reach. And that's the kicker for me, at least in my opinion, that the problem's not just that we are busy striving to achieve or produce or grow. I love achieving, producing, and growing. But the problem lies that we're consumed by the idea that whatever that is, whatever I could get, whatever's just out of my reach is what I need to be satisfied, is what I need to be happy, is what I need to be content. One of those same coaches, I don't know if it was the same guy we just looked at a second ago or a different one, once said, "If I'm not making at least $400,000 a year, I am failing as a man, a husband, and a father." When I heard him say that, here I am going, man, what a failure I am. Nowhere near that. Talk about chasing the fruit, or at least causing others to chase the fruit, the feel, the need that if I don't have this, I'm failing. If I don't accomplish this, I am not going to be content. I mean, it's pretty heavy. I think it's pretty heavy that the feeling of lack can be very powerful and drive us to the illusion that what we need is just around the corner. Are you feeling lack? Is that the focus? That has an incredible power over our lives. The battle's real. It's real for me, at least. And I've come to believe in many ways that this life is, it's like a mind game, right? It's a battle for our minds. It's a battle for how we think. It's a place of faith and trust and how we see the world, how the world works, how we see where contentment lies. And this is what I want us to consider today. This is the important part, that through the presence of Jesus, there is a wonderful contentment available right here, right now, because it's a contentment that's in here, not out there. It's in here. It's not at that next thing I can accomplish or have. And in my opinion, that is a big deal and something that to focus on in a world that's continuously making me feel, at least, and maybe you as well, feel the need to have more. Jesus said that in John chapter 14, verse 27. This is right before he's going to be leaving. He's going to be leaving the earth as they know it. He says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I don't give you as the world gives. So do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." I teach 11th grade Bible at our high school. We have a high school down in Temecula at Rancho Christian School. I teach 11th grade Bible, and we do worldviews. And this Easter, we were kind of talking about the power of the resurrection, right? And like, what's the implications of the resurrection? And so we are talking, yeah, our sins are forgiven. Man, no doubt, we're free, we're forgiven, our sins are over. But there's something else that we talked about. And it's this idea that Christ is alive, right? He is alive, he is here, he is present in our lives. And that should blow us away. That means something's going on inside us that's more powerful than what's going on outside of us. Matter of fact, in Romans chapter 8, it says that the Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, then he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you. So that same power that raised Christ from the dead, that power is now in us. It's now in us to give us life right here, right now, today. Peace, as Jesus said. Contentment. One of my favorite authors, as a matter of fact, I taught quite a few years ago at Blue Oaks, and I did the Wisdom of Willard. Dallas Willard is still one of my favorite authors and pastors and philosophers. He speaks into my life so much. He wrote a book that was called Life without lack. And it's a book based on Psalm 23. And the psalm starts off like this, and then we'll listen to some of the things that Dallas says about contentment, about this inner working of the Spirit of God in our lives. But in Psalm 23, verse 1, it says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. I shall not be in want. I shall be content," right? "He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul." What a verse to focus on. In a world that can seem so chaotic, right? To have this verse that talks about not being in need, not lacking anything, and being someone that sits by these still waters in these calm prayer pastures and just finds peace in our soul. What a beautiful, beautiful picture. My wife and I, we're empty nesters now. My son is 26 and 24, which is weird because they used to be in middle school when I'd come up here and teach. And now they actually live up here in the Bay Area. We just visited them. And when they've been gone, we have found ourselves having our TV on more at home. Do you find that ever? You have your TV on a lot? Our TV is running more than it has in a long time. But I want to show you what's on our TV. My wife has found these YouTube channels, and these YouTube channels have sound going and sometimes light jazz, and we just turn this on and we allow it to just bring peace into our home. We don't have news on, we don't have TV shows on, we do watch that stuff, but this is what we have on most of the day. And it just brings, we walk in and it just brings this quietness and this peace in their home. And the funniest thing often happens is every once in a while, all of a sudden a commercial will come on, right? And it's like, "You shouldn't pay for solar." And it just destroys the peace in our room. Like instantly I go, "Oh no, I don't have the right solar system." And I get captured again by the chaos and can't wait to turn that back on. It's just this idea of being reminded. We do this to remind us of this still water, to remind us of what Psalm 23 talks about, this idea of green pastures that God helps us lay down by, these calm waters that can still our heart and still our soul. And continuing to remind us of that takes work, right? As John Piper said in that quote at the beginning, Christian life is not about perfection, but about fighting. And it takes effort. It takes conscious effort to make sure that I'm focusing on the right things. So here's Dallas Willard. Here's what he says in the book, Life Without Lack, talking about Psalm 23, talking about this contentment. He says that the gospel that Jesus himself proclaimed, manifested, and taught was about more than his death for the forgiveness of sins, as important as that is. It was about the kingdom of God, God's immediate availability, his with-usness, I love that word, right? His with-usness that makes a life without lack possible. So how is a life without lack possible? Because we have the presence of the resurrected Christ through the power of the Spirit with us, transforming us, bringing these still waters, the calm pastures into our hearts and minds. It's the work of God in our lives. And in that presence is freedom, beautiful freedom. As it says in 2 Corinthians 3:17, "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom." And where is the Spirit of the Lord? It's here. He's here. He's in you. He's in me. Where can we go from His Spirit? We can't go anywhere from the Spirit of God. We can go to the depths and the heights, and He's there. And freedom from what? Freedom from what? Yes, our sins. Christ has set us free from our sins. But I want to also challenge on something else. I believe it's also freedom from chasing the fruit. Freedom from contentment being out there somewhere, being just out of our reach, to contentment being actually within us. You see, in His goodness, Dallas Willard said, God has arranged things so we are able to use our minds to understand and enter His glorious and plentiful kingdom. Think about that. Where's the kingdom of God? I asked my kids that in my class. Where's the kingdom of God? Oh, it's in heaven. Oh, it's out there. Oh, it's over there. No, what Dallas Willard is trying to say, and he talks about this so much in this book, is that the kingdom of God is within, right? The very words that Jesus spoke, the kingdom of God is in here. And so we are able to use our minds to understand and enter his glorious and plentiful kingdom, where there is no want, where there is no lack, where his peace is with us, not like the world gives us, which is beautiful. I like when I'm achieving. I like when things are working out, right? Don't get me wrong. I have no problem with that. But when that's driving me, when that's making me feel like it's just out of my reach, then I got to rethink it. So yeah, it's a mind game. Like, it's about faith. It's about faith. It's about trust. It's about believing and how believing affects our lives. So there's two areas I want us to consider here. Two areas. I want us to consider that in Christ, there is a commitment available right where you are, number one, and in who you are, number two. So there's a contentment right where you are, and there's a contentment in who you are. So first, let's consider where you are. Let's consider that one of the most quoted verses in the Bible, right, in the Western world, is about accomplishing as the center stage. That's why it's so quoted. It's so, our center stage in our Western world is so much about accomplishing, succeeding, having, getting, winning, that this verse is always quoted. I could do all things through him who gave me strength. I've already heard it, I think, two or three times in all the Olympic trial stuff, right? I've already heard athletes saying, it's because I could do everything through Christ who strengthens me. We put it on our shoes. We put it in our sales rooms. So many people tattoo it on their bodies, right? It is used to try to encourage us to believe that anything we set our minds on, we can accomplish. That's why I'm hearing it from all these, so from many Olympic athletes. Now, I'm not trying to say that we can't, that if we set our mind on things that we can't accomplish, yeah, we can. But what I want to consider today is how this verse might actually be saying something a bit different. And to me, something actually more powerful. Because it wants to move us away from out there, what we can get, what we accomplish, to see that power. To in here, it's more about how we see than what we see. It's more about what's going on inside than what's going on the outside. Look at what Paul is saying in this verse. I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of what? Of being content in any and every situation. Whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Do you see what he's actually talking about here? He's not talking about accomplishing. He's not talking about getting. He's not talking about succeeding. He's actually talking about whether he's succeeding or failing, whether he has a lot or nothing, whether he's free or is in prison. The all things that he's finding he can do is finding that contentment, that peace by the power of the Spirit of God in him. And that is beautiful. He was actually in prison when he wrote this. What a powerful message to consider, to think. When the Western world wants to kind of westernize this about like, yeah, I made it here because Christ gives me strength too, you know, which I don't doubt that that could be it. But there's something even more powerful than that. You see, Christ in us brings us contentment right where we are and frees us from the illusion that it's just beyond our grasp. And that is a beautiful reality. It's about bringing contentment right where we are. And that can set us free from this constant busyness to achieve, that constant celebration we have, which actually seems to create more burnout, more stress, and the feeling of lack, right? No matter what we get, there's more. No matter what car I get, there's a better one. We've heard that stuff. We know it's true, but it's so hard to not be captured by it. So the first thing is right where we are. Right where we are is the place of God's kingdom, Dallas Willard says. Right where you are is the place where God wants to be with you and bring you contentment. Even if things aren't going your way, even if you're not accomplishing or achieving what you wish you were. So contentment through Christ can empower us to some things. Number one, to simplify our lives and not need so much. That's a huge one. It can make us sit there and go, wait a minute, I'm going to simplify. I don't need more to be contentment. I'm living out of contentment, not to try to achieve contentment. I think it could also help us to find more gratitude with what we have. Really finding this, one of my favorite words is paradigm. Shifting our paradigm of how we see the world around us. Beginning to go, you know what? How do I become more grateful for what I have instead of feeling of what I lack? And then the last thing is it can help us to consider ways to use our resources to impact the world around us, to realize even if we don't have a lot, oh man, there is so much we can do. There's so much that our lives can be about that's so much more than accomplishing or accumulating. And this is the freedom Christ's resurrection can do in and through our lives. As we believe it, as we set our minds on it and start making some decisions towards that direction, believing that God is with us. It might not always be easy, but it starts with a new contentment, right? Trusting in the power of Christ in our lives, in us, instead of it being out there. But desiring things, achievements, accomplishments is not the only thing, right, that might be in the way of contentment. That's not the only thing. There's also so much pressure. I don't know if you feel this. This is probably one I felt more than actually like things and possessions and stuff. But it is who I am. Man, the desire, the constant struggle to feel like I need to be someone else. I need to be more. I shouldn't be content with who I am. I need to be something else. There is so much pressure in our culture in that. There's so much pressure because of social media and all the things we see to wish I was more like that, to wish I'm more like that. Do you ever struggle with that? And the Christian world is no better. It could be some of the places where we feel the pressure to be something else. Man, God loves you, but he doesn't want you to stay where you are. He wants you to become more spiritual. He wants you to become more godly. He wants you to become more this or that. Don't be satisfied. But I think it's different than that. I think where it starts is realizing that we are who we are, and that's a great place. As a matter of fact, a few months ago, I had a friend of mine at church text me this question. What would you say we are made for? That's all she texted me. What do you say we are made for? So many things went on in my head when I saw that. I started thinking about the Westminster Catechism, to glorify God and enjoy him forever. We had our kids memorize that when they were kids. That's what we're made for. We're made to glorify God. We're made to worship God. We're made to share. All these things we're made for. All these things were going on in my head, right? I get that, right? I mean, I believe that. But for some reason, I found myself not feeling settled at that answer. I just kept going like, that's not the answer I want to give her. That's not the answer. And one answer kept coming back to my head. I kept pushing away, going, nope. As a matter of fact, I sat on it for a day or two. This simple question, what would you say you're made for? And finally, I just said, I'm going to text her back what I'm thinking. I believe I was made to be me. Believe I was made to be me. It's taken me a long time to get to there. And I have to admit that, man, all these verses on how I should act and what I should be doing came to mind, man. All these things were telling me, yeah, maybe that's not right. Maybe for some of you, you're thinking like, that's just too simplistic. Maybe for some of you, you're thinking, that is so profound. That is exactly what I needed to hear. I have spent years and years feeling the need to become something more, to strive to be more of this, to be more of that, even to set goals to achieve more and more about who I think I should be as a person, as a Christian, as a man, as a dad, as a husband. If you don't make $400,000 a year, you're a failure, so I better do that so I'm not a failure. Oh man, the pressure on us. And actually, it was about back when I was probably about 17, 18 years ago, I got fired at a church. I got let go because of some, like, oh, we're going to go in a different direction. And it devastated me. I loved being there. I loved my journey there. And it caused me to think, like, who am I? Am I not good enough? Am I not smart enough? If I'm not this, I'm not that. I got to become more. It was a time in my life where I wrestled with who I was. And I've been spending the last 17 years now still trying to be okay with Steve. That's why when she asked me, what were you made to be? I just wanted to say, I was made to be me. It's taken me a long time to be okay with that. And maybe that's where you need to find contentment in today, It's okay to be you. A few weeks ago, actually, I was reading the book of John. I was just finishing up the Gospels, and I was reading the book of John in the Message Bible. And as I was reading the Message Bible, I got to John chapter 4. And I want to tell you, this stopped me in my tracks. When I read how Eugene Peterson translated this, I stopped and I sat back. And let's read it real quick. Here's what he said. The kind of people the Father is out looking for, those who are simply and honestly themselves. I could still feel reading that in my living room, still feel saying, seriously, is God really just looking for those who are simply and honestly themselves? See, God is sheer being himself, spirit. Those who worship him must do it out of their very being, their spirits, their true selves in adoration. And I remember about a month ago sitting there and thinking, is that for real? Can I come to God as I am? Because guess what? I could do that. Like, I could do that. All the other pressure is struggling, but I could do that. I could be me. I'm really good at being me. Don't always like all the things that come out, but I'm good at being me. And I hope that maybe today, not only will you find that by Christ's presence, you can begin to be set free from just the race of getting the next fruit, the thinking that contentment's out there somewhere with the next accomplishment, with the next acquiring of something, with whatever that might be, with the next win, and actually find that it's Christ in me that can transform it inside out, but also that you can begin to realize that you are made to be me, you. That you are right where you need to be and allow God's love for you to empower you today. Because he's just looking for people, according to Jesus and John in the Message Bible, for those that are just coming honestly as themselves. What a beautiful picture. We have a high priest, it says in Hebrews, that empathizes with our weaknesses, which means he says, I empathize, I understand, I walk you, so come boldly to me in Hebrews 4. Come boldly, I empathize with you. I'm not looking down on you, waiting for you to grow, get your act together. I'm empathizing and I'm walking with you right here and right now, because Christ in us helps us to find contentment in who we are and frees us from chasing the illusion of who we think we need to be. And that has taken me a lot of years to get you. So not only can Christ in us free us from the need to pursue things for contentment, but I believe even more importantly, he frees us from needing to be someone other than who we are for contentment. And to me, that is freedom. And that is the beautiful reality of the resurrected Christ that now lives in you, now lives in me. It's a beautiful and powerful contentment that comes from within. It changes the way we see things, even if the things we see don't change, right? As a matter of fact, something I tell these high school kids I work with every day, how you see is more powerful than what you see. And the resurrected Christ helps us to see differently. Helps us to see the world and pursuits and getting things and what that, you know, and the fleetingness of that. And helps us to see ourselves differently through the eyes of God, through Christ, that we are who we are. And God loves us just like that. And a world that can make us feel like we are truly lacking possessions, accomplishments, things like that. Also in a world that can make us feel like we're lacking as a person. I believe that freedom is needed more than ever before. And it is available through the power of the Spirit in us to change us from the inside out, to see things differently, not just the world around us, but to see ourselves as well. What a beautiful, beautiful gift. Will you pray with me? Father God, thank you so much for this message throughout the Scriptures, the power of your presence in our lives, the kingdom of God here and now, that can not only just help us to lay down beside these still waters and this beautiful pastures to find peace within through the power of your Spirit, instead of being trapped by the illusion that it's just right out there. Thank you that you can begin to help us see things differently, to apply our lives differently, And even more beautifully, that we can sit down and realize that we are loved by you, that we are accepted by you just as we are. And what you're looking for is people that are coming authentically. I don't have to be someone else. I don't have to try to strive to be that person or to be more this or more that. It starts with this faith of accepting that we are loved by you right where we are. And may for some of us here, whether it be pursuing things that we feel like contentment's right out there or just not being content with who we are because we're constantly being told of what we should be, I pray that today we might find this contentment. May it just overwhelm us and move us to a new place in our lives. For your glory and honor, in Jesus' name, amen. It's great being with you all today, and I hope I can come back again soon. God bless.
Hey, once again, thanks for listening. We hope you found something in this week's message to take away and apply to your life this week. If you live in the Bay Area, we would love to have you join us for one of our weekend services. For directions or information about what we have for you or your family, your students, you can go to blueoaks.church or download the app today. And we hope to see you on Sunday soon.